This is a good comment. We don't usually address this. We address this very rarely. But I think it bears addressing once in a blue moon. As a ministry, we really solicit very little in regards of encouraging people to tithe or offering or anything like that. I don't like making that the emphasis. I certainly do not agree when you see some of the people on television and half of their program is asking for money. I don't think that's the way to do it. God provides all our needs, but by the same token, we have a portion by tithing and by offerings. Let's just define that for a few moments. This is not the message. We won't stay on this too long. But I think it bears defining once in a while. God gives me the opportunity to become invested, if you will, in the work of the kingdom. Now, if a church, Spurgeon says this, if a church collects money but does not soul win, it should be called a society for the collection of money. But if a church is soul winning and preaching the gospel and lives are being transformed and the word of God is going forward, then the people in that church have an opportunity to be invested in that. I find it interesting that when Jesus said to the disciples, "Go and get me the donkey, and if you see a man there and he asks you, 'What are you doing?' say, 'The Lord has need of this.'" Well, they weren't giving it to Jesus, they were giving it to the disciple. But the disciple had a directive from the Savior to get this donkey because there was a purpose for having that in God's kingdom being glorified and in prophecy being fulfilled. There was an eternal plan that was being fulfilled and satisfied by that donkey. So the man immediately, it says he immediately gave him this animal. What I find interesting is that the man's name is not recorded, but his availability to give is. And perhaps that is the only thing he ever did in the kingdom of God, but then that's the only thing God ever really wanted from him, and it was recorded for all of eternity. We take tithing very lightly sometimes. I don't mean the people here. This is, I think, probably a very faithful group. I don't know, actually, because I don't see who tithes and who doesn't. I just see numbers. But I don't know who gives how much or who gives or doesn't give. And I don't want to know. I don't think it's wisdom for the pastor to know that, to be aware of that. So I don't know who does or doesn't. But as a principle, I'll tell you right now, if a person doesn't tithe, they're robbing themselves, not only God. It's an interesting way this works. When my wife got ill and could no longer work, I was out with my back. I could not work, and we had a year like this. We didn't have a lot of savings. We were living paycheck to paycheck prior to that. And in that time, we continued to tithe. Yet we managed, without any income or savings, to pay a mortgage and to pay health insurance, because she was ill. We couldn't do without health insurance, which is like another mortgage. You know that. So essentially the quantity of two mortgages before we paid the electricity, before we bought a shirt of food, before we paid for the telephone, anything. Essentially paid two mortgages. Now, we didn't actually have the money to do it. It just was there. That's because we tithed. And at that time, we didn't have an income, so there was no actual tithe, but there were still the offerings, and we still gave offerings. And God honored that. Now, we don't often think of that as robbing God, but in the Old Testament, when the offerings were given, let's say the burnt offering, the meat offering, wasn't just thrown on the altar, sizzled to death and thrown out. That was cooked and eaten by the priests. The offering that God considered to Himself was in the Old Testament to the priests. See, when we don't tithe, we're robbing God, and we think we're simply not giving something to a group or an organization. But that's not true. God says, you're not giving it to me. In the Old Testament, I believe it's in Leviticus, it said, do not... Levi got no portion of land, right? In Deuteronomy and all that. Levi got no... in Numbers. Levi got no portion of land. But God sternly warned Israel and exhorted them not to leave Levi untaken care of. It says, make sure Levi does not go without. As a matter of fact, Levi was supposed to get 11 tenths. Right? Now then, well, why should Levi get? I don't know. Ask God. He wrote it. But when I don't tithe as a believer, then I'm robbing God. Plain and simple. Now, for those who may be listening on the internet, I don't get paid. I'm a volunteer pastor. I don't make money off of this. So somebody out there who happens to hear it and say, oh, here they go again. They're looking for, hey, I don't get a penny of it. But the church does need that. Like, for example, we're looking for property. We're not going to buy property without money. Okay? They're not going to give it to us just because they really like us. You know, people say things like, well, I tithe of my time. Well, that pays the electric bill, doesn't it? Or that buys the land, or that whatever. That buys the paper for the tracts, doesn't it? Your time buys the paper for the tracts. Yeah, we go on outreach. Your time pays for the van that we take or the gas, right? Go to the gas. Well, I gave the church my time, so I need 10 gallons. I gave them 10 gallons worth of time this week. No, tithing is how the believer becomes invested. Okay, you will find the people who are invested are the ones who are often, not always, very good givers. Why? Because they're giving out of where it hurts. The Bible specifies, and I don't count, I'm not a penny counter, but the Bible does say you give of your first fruits, and it says 10%, one tenth. And that's the tithe. The tithe is given to the local assembly. The tithe is not given to a television program or somebody else's church. The tithe is given to the church that you attend. An offering is anything you happen to give above that. Whether it's to your church or to the television program or to somebody else's church. That's an offering. The reason why it says tithes and offerings and not offerings and tithes is because the tithe comes prior to the offering. First fruits. First fruits. So if I make $10, I tithe a buck. Okay, now first fruits does not mean that Uncle Sam gets the better portion. Whether you like it or not, this is between you and God. Like I said, I don't know what anybody does with this because I don't see those books. I don't see the checks. Or whatever, however you give it. But it is talking about from the gross income. The first fruits. Okay? What happens? What if I don't have the money? That's between you and God. All I can tell you is when I didn't have the money, I did it anyway, and I never wound up short. I do know that when God receives our tithe, because it's really unto Him that we do it. When God receives our tithe, He opens the windows, right? Isn't that what Malachi said? Oh, He opens the windows of blessing and He pours it on. the soundest financial advice I can give to anybody, especially in tough economic times, and this is contradictory to natural reasoning, is make sure you're faithful to tithe. Because if I as a believer am sure to be faithful to tithe, then God is faithful to take care of my finances. I heard it put this way one time. I don't remember who said it, but it was well put. You take care of God's house, God takes care of yours. I'd rather have God take care of my house. God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, or 1,000 cattle on a hill, whichever way. Either way, it's a lot. God knows how to take care of our house. And when God gives the promise that He will provide all my needs, He knows how to take care of my house. I take care of His. It's interesting how God, this economy God has. Pastoring is the same way. You don't build, as a pastor, you don't build churches. Pastors do not build churches. Pastors build people. God builds churches. So as a pastor, you're successful if you build people. If people are growing under your pulpit in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, then you're a successful pastor. You invested in the person. You didn't invest in the church, but you invested in the person. God does the same. I invest in God's house and God invests in mine. It's a good trade-off. It's like really good interest. And I don't do it for the sake of the interest. If for no other reason, I do it out of faith obedience. But God much prefers that I enjoy doing it. Why? Because I'm becoming invested in that which the kingdom is doing. If a person doesn't tithe, that's between them and God. But I'll tell you right now, and I don't know if you do or don't, I don't know who does and who doesn't. But if you don't tithe, you're robbing yourself and your family. You really are. But you see, there's this element of the waster the Bible talks about. And sometimes, when people know that tithing is something God desires from them, and they refuse to do it, knowing that God desires it from them, He does send the waster into my finances, if I am like that. Is that a threat? No. That's reality. But when I do become faithful to tithe, God becomes very faithful toward my finances. And that's when you don't see His children begging for bread. You don't see His children begging for rent or mortgage. God simply takes care of. Now, I may not have an excess. Like when I was out and my wife was ill and all, we didn't have an excess. We just never went without. We couldn't take the trip to Europe. But we always paid our bills and we always had food on the table and we never were short on what we needed. That's a promise God gives. I'll tell you one story that I think is a good story. Who was this? Was this J.C. Penney? I think this might have been J.C. Penney. He was a believer. He wasn't a rich guy at all. He was kind of a digging the bottom of the, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel kind of a guy. Digging the bottom of the barrel. You won't dig too far. Scraping the bottom of the barrel. But he had this thought, you know, God wants 10% and I get to keep 90. But what do I need 90 for? And so he made this arrangement. God, you need this more than I do. So he started tithing 90% and keeping 10. And he became extremely wealthy. Why? Because he honored in his heart. Now, he didn't do it. I know you're going to make me wealthy if I do this. It's not like the lottery. Okay, it's the heart. His heart understood God's economy, and he had a heart for God's kingdom and for the lost and so on. And so he, in his own conviction before God, now I'm not saying to do this, but I'm saying this is one man who did. In his own conviction before God, in his heart before God, he decided he's going to keep at 10%, give 90, and God really honored. So, for anyone on the internet who is not tithing, you're robbing yourself. Okay, you're robbing yourself. If on the internet you are hearing this, and you are a member of a local assembly somewhere, your tithe goes to your home church. Don't hit the donate now button on our website and call that your tithe if you have a local assembly. You give your tithe to your local assembly. And then, if God puts it on your heart to put something above that tithe to anywhere, that's between you and God. That's fine. But the tithe goes to my local assembly. My first pastor put it this way. People who tithe to the television program rather than their home church. Okay, you go to the restaurant, but you pay your bill across the street. That's kind of what it is, though. So, tithing is key. Young people. Those are, and again, I don't know if you tithe or not. But those of you who have these jobs where you're just making a handful of bucks an hour and a handful of hours a week, wisdom is to tithe. Now, whether you do that or not is between you and God, but I'm telling you right now, wisdom is to tithe. Because God will take that handful of bucks and increase it, just like He did with those five loaves and two fishes. That's no different today. God will take that and increase it. Wherein have we robbed God? I wouldn't want to be the one robbing God. That's the wrong house to break into. Reminds me years ago in Baltimore City. There was a house. The people who owned the house had a lion. They owned a lion. I actually saw it driving in Baltimore one time in the back seat of the station wagon. And I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Anyway, I heard on the news, several months, maybe a couple years after I saw this, that somebody had broken into that house to rob it. Bad house to rob. Anyway, good thought.